The Modern Commonwealth. You are going to listen to a recording about the Modern Commonwealth. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then, you will hear the recording twice. While listening, match the beginnings of the sentences 1 to 5 with the sentence endings A to H. There are two sentence endings that you should not use. Write your answers in the boxes provided. The first one, 0, has been done for you.
I'm prepared to admit that there are more than enough individuals in this country and beyond who would call that a contradiction in terms. So perhaps the first challenge of the modern Commonwealth is to dispel the myths that continue to surround it. It's just the British Commonwealth, people say. In fact, the British Commonwealth died in 1949 with India's independence and a new union of what were defined as freely and equally associated states. We are in large part former colonies. But we're all proudly independent today and with equal votes. And we're not just British in our roots. We include 5 former German colonies, 8 French-speaking countries, and 1 Lusophone, with a country like Mozambique already a member for 10 years, and another like Rwanda knocking on the door. Go back further, of course, and you find our members with histories dating back long before colonization. It's just the Commonwealth Games, people say. We're very proud of what are known as the Friendly Games, and for sure they are one of our most visible manifestations. But the Commonwealth Games Federation is just one of nearly 90 organizations and associations worldwide that make up the very special network that is the Commonwealth. So somehow these 53 countries and 1.8 billion people, a third of the world's population, a quarter of its countries, and a fifth of its trade, countries rich and poor, large and small, and home to people of every colour and creed, all too often get this sort of summary dismissal. We're a richly diverse gathering of governments and of peoples across 5 continents and 3 oceans. It's from history that our association emerged, but it is our shared values and goals that unite us today. What we do can be summed up in 2 words, democracy and development. In policy work and practical assistance, all our energies go towards entrenching democracy and bringing about development, both economic and human. So we talk and we act. When we talk, the world listens. Just one example. In 1987, a Commonwealth Finance Ministers meeting first proposed the idea of bilateral debt relief, and the world took up the idea and ran with it. 10 years later, it was the Commonwealth which proposed the idea of multilateral debt relief, and again the idea took flight, once and for all at the G8 summit in Scotland 2 years ago. So, a generation later, a Commonwealth idea has realized an estimated $100 billion of debt relief for 30 or so of the world's poorest countries. The ideas and talk lead to action on the ground, too, with hundreds of Commonwealth people out there as I speak, training women handicraft makers in Pakistan, training police officers in human rights in Sierra Leone, watching at polling booths both in Kenya and Papua New Guinea, determining maritime boundaries in the Pacific, funding youth businesses in Guyana, and many, many more. Talk can change policy and lead to new plans and good results, but you have to start with talk. This, then, is the modern Commonwealth, actively promoting democracy and development, and making them happen. Turning to my theme today, what challenges does the modern Commonwealth face in the 21st century? What few words of advice would I give to my successor as Secretary General when he's elected in a fortnight's time when Commonwealth heads of government meet in Kampala, Uganda? Before I took up this job, I talked about the need for the Commonwealth to be relevant and credible. That hasn't changed, but let me now slice it even further. We must stay true to our values, stay responsive to what our members want of us, stay inclusive for the people who need us most, and stay open to new members, new partners, and to the part we must play alongside other actors on the global stage. I'm prepared to admit that there are more than enough individuals in this country and beyond who would call that a contradiction in terms. So perhaps the first challenge of the modern Commonwealth is to dispel the myths that continue to surround it. It's just the British Commonwealth, people say. In fact, the British Commonwealth died in 1949, with India's independence and a new union of what were defined as freely and equally associated states. We are in large part former colonies. But we're all proudly independent today and with equal votes. And we're not just British in our roots. We include 5 former German colonies, 8 French-speaking countries, and 1 Lusophone, with a country like Mozambique already a member for 10 years, and another like Rwanda knocking on the door. Go back further, of course, and you find our members with histories dating back long before colonization. It's just the Commonwealth Games, people say. We're very proud of what are known as the Friendly Games, and for sure they are one of our most visible manifestations. But the Commonwealth Games Federation is just one of nearly 90 organizations and associations worldwide that make up the very special network that is the Commonwealth. So somehow these 53 countries and 1.8 billion people, a third of the world's population, a quarter of its countries, and a fifth of its trade, countries rich and poor, large and small, and home to people of every colour and creed, all too often get this sort of summary dismissal. We're a richly diverse gathering of governments and of peoples across 5 continents and 3 oceans. It's from history that our association emerged, but it is our shared values and goals that unite us today. What we do can be summed up in 2 words, democracy and development. In policy work and practical assistance, all our energies go towards entrenching democracy and bringing about development, both economic and human. So we talk and we act. When we talk, the world listens. Just one example. In 1987, a Commonwealth Finance Ministers meeting first proposed the idea of bilateral debt relief, and the world took up the idea and ran with it. 10 years later, it was the Commonwealth which proposed the idea of multilateral debt relief, and again the idea took flight, once and for all at the G8 summit in Scotland 2 years ago. So, a generation later, a Commonwealth idea has realized an estimated $100 billion of debt relief for 30 or so of the world's poorest countries. The ideas and talk lead to action on the ground, too, with hundreds of Commonwealth people out there as I speak, training women handicraft makers in Pakistan, training police officers in human rights in Sierra Leone, watching at polling booths both in Kenya and Papua New Guinea, determining maritime boundaries in the Pacific, funding youth businesses in Guyana, and many, many more. Talk can change policy and lead to new plans and good results, but you have to start with talk. This, then, is the modern Commonwealth, actively promoting democracy and development and making them happen. Turning to my theme today, What challenges does the modern Commonwealth face in the 21st century? What few words of advice would I give to my successor as Secretary General when he's elected in a fortnight's time when Commonwealth heads of government meet in Kampala, Uganda? Before I took up this job, I talked about the need for the Commonwealth to be relevant and credible. That hasn't changed, but let me now slice it even further. We must stay true to our values, stay responsive to what our members want of us, stay inclusive for the people who need us most, and stay open to new members, new partners, and to the part we must play alongside other actors on the global stage.